Thank you, Seth. That's a great reading. That's a great scripture. And some great words of encouragement that we will mention in just a few moments. If you're here, we're thankful for your presence. And those who regularly worship here and those who are visiting with us this morning, we're glad that you're here. We hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. Recently, I attended a couple of different graduation parties, and one of them involved also a ceremony. And it was an encouraging thing. Both of these involved some Christians. And I noticed at both of these gatherings two things. First of all, there was what's become a tradition, the PowerPoint, where there's a lot of pictures being shown of the graduates, going back to even when they're just toddlers, all the way up to age 18. A lot of memories, a lot of shots there of growing up and going through school and that type of thing. And then the other thing was a table where these graduates, their plans for the future, whether they're going to go to a college or what work they're planned, or are they going into the military or something like that. And so on this occasion, there was a looking back and a looking forward at the same time. There was looking back when you're watching the PowerPoint, and then you can see where these young people are going in the future. This morning, I have in mind our two graduates, Maddie Montague and Rice and Shepherd, and I want to talk about some goals, and I want to consider our graduates today. But I also want to consider all of us. We're going to find some things this morning that are for all of us. We might be younger. We've got some younger folks coming up. I know we've got some juniors. Lord willing, they'll be graduating next year. If you're younger, you can be looking ahead at some of these goals. And for those of us who are older, we can look at these things as well and say, are they still goals in my life? I had them at one time. Are they still goals in my life as I've gotten older? So I believe that there's something here this morning for all of us. But for Maddie and for Ryson, first of all, I want to say congratulations. It's a great time in your life. You're to be proud of your successes. We're proud of you. We, two fine young Christians, we're encouraged by what you've accomplished and what you're planning ahead in your life. And so this morning I would like to help along those lines, giving some goals for looking ahead. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has this great moment of transition. He gets to lead the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And when God comes to him, he gives him some goals so that there would be success. Joshua 1 is God's plan for success. And notice he says, be strong and courageous. And then number 2, he says, don't depart from the law of Moses. And number 3, always remember that I'll be with you. And so God gives some goals for looking ahead. And I want us to consider that this morning with regard to our graduates and also with regard to all of us in making sure that we have a right relationship with God. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, when I think of graduation, I think of the different stages. We are walking through different steps and stages in life. We're leaving one room and we're going into another room, as it were. We're exiting one road and we're getting on to another road in life. And I want us to think about, as we come to these times and steps and stages in our life, I want us to think this morning about keeping some spiritual goals in our mind. Of course, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And so here's a time of transition. You know, there's a time to be an infant, and then you transition into childhood. And there's a time to be a child, but then you transition into adulthood. And there's a time to be an adult, and then you transition into old age and passing from this life. Life is about steps and stages. And hopefully, as we take each step and we transition to that new part of life, that we always keep God in our lives. Another passage in Ecclesiastes that I'm reminded of is over in chapter 7 and verse 8. Chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, when we walk across that stage at graduation, there's been a lot of water under the bridge, so to speak. There have been a lot of changes in 18 years from that first day that we stepped into kindergarten. And at the end of a thing is better. We have more experiences. We have more knowledge. Hopefully we have matured. Hopefully we have grown. And so the end of a thing is better, and that makes a good lesson in itself. But what's interesting about this is, with regard to our life, that when we end one chapter, we start another chapter. There's a new way. And if you turn over a couple of chapters from that passage there that Seth read earlier, as the children of Israel are going to cross the Jordan River there, Joshua says, let the Ark of the Covenant go first. That's God's presence. Let God go first. And then he says, because you have not passed this way before. You've never passed this way. You've never traveled this way before. It's a new part of your life. And so let God go first. And that's what this lesson is about this morning. You're entering into a new chapter in your life. You have not gone this way before. You're leaving home. You're going out. You're going to be doing some other things. It's a new chapter that you're writing. And it's a new way that you've never been before. And the success is to always let God go first. Paul describes the life of a Christian in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2 as an epistle or a letter that is read and known among all men. Our life is a book. And when we graduate and when we transition from one part of our life to another, we're writing a new chapter. What are you writing this morning? What chapter are you writing right now in your life? And so, it's a time where we are looking back with memories and we're looking ahead with plans and goals. What are some scriptural principles that we can think of and that we can apply in our lives? And so we're very proud of Maddie and Ryson. What can we keep in our mind, not only in their lives, but also in our lives as well? And I hope that we can encourage each other this morning with these principles. As we look at these passages of Scripture, I have put them into three different categories. First of all, we're going to talk about goals that relate to God. And then number two, goals that relate to ourselves. And then number three, goals that relate to those who are around us. As we make this transition, as we take a new step, as we're beginning an untraveled road that we've never been down before, as we're writing a new chapter in our book of life, what can we keep in mind? Well, first of all, I would suggest that we remember where we came from, and that is God made us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, that we are to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. There's going to be times where you're now transitioning into a new era, and there are a lot of things to keep up with. There's a mental overload. There might be college or work or school or moving away or doing different types of things, but we always have to come back to our grounding and make sure that God is in our life. And at the end of that chapter, that the whole of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, because there's going to be a judgment day. There's going to be new experiences. There's going to be new thoughts. There's going to be new information. But it's that old information about the Creator that we just need to constantly remember and keep in our life. There's a time for new information. There's a time for learning new things. But that old basic principle that our parents raised us with, or that we've been introduced to maybe even later in life, that we have a Creator and He's going to hold us accountable, that is something to always keep with us. And in verse 13, and we read this verse a lot, but it's certainly good to remember the whole of man. What is man about? Men and women, what are we about? It's not just about the physical. It's not just about the fun. It's keeping God in our mind, fearing Him, keeping His commandments. That really is the whole of man. And this comes from a man, Solomon, who wrote this book, who tried to find meaning in life with riches and pleasure and education and women and many different types of things. And he comes down to the end of it and says, I've realized that it's just simply about fearing God and keeping His commandments. So that would be a great goal. There's going to be some challenges. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. There's going to be some Goliaths. There's going to be some challenges along the way. There are going to be some giants along the way. And when these challenges come, and I'm not just talking about school grades and things like that, but challenges with people, challenges with the devil, challenges with relationships, always trust God. Always be on God's side. You remember the story there about young David, the shepherd boy, who runs into battle to fight the Philistine, Goliath. The text said that the men of Israel had run away. They had cut and run. They're running away, and young David is running to the fight. They're running away from the fight. And what caused him to do that was not his physical stature. It was not that he was wearing some special protective body armor. He didn't even want to wear any of that. It was his relationship with God. And he said that God has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and God will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Always trust God in His word and in His way. Do we still do that as adults? You know, the little five smooth stones and the sling that went round and round. You know, that story is not just for the little kids. It's for us too. And sometimes you'll see adults who have lost their trust in God. And so when the battle ensues and you are on the field with Goliath, whoever that is, will you trust in God and follow His word and follow His way? And when those challenges involve temptations, will you think of God? Turn with me to Genesis 39. When the challenges involve temptations, and it's a chapter in your life when you're having more freedom than you had before. You get to get out on your own. You can stay out all night if you want. You can do what you want, say what you want, think what you want. Mom and Dad are not around. And so sometimes that grabs a young person and can turn them in the wrong way. I went to college with a young man that couldn't wait to get out and do some things, and he fell away. He was raised a member of the church, raised by Christian parents, raised in a very godly way. But he got out and experienced some freedoms and some liberties, and temptations set in. And he ended up with problems with alcohol and with fornication, with bad language, and some other things. And I saw him about 15 years after that, where he had come back to the faith after sowing his wild oats, so to speak. And he said, "Chris, I just did not stay grounded during those times of my life." And so we remember, of course, the story of Joseph there and Potiphar's wife. And just to remind ourselves that when she wanted to have a sexual relationship with him in Genesis 39, remember his statement there in verse 9, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So always be thinking of God every moment of the day. And in Proverbs 5 and verse 21, again, in the context of sexual immorality, and of course that's not the only temptation, there's other types of temptations. But in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, there's the reminder there that God is always watching and that He will hold us in account. "For the ways of man are before the eyes of Jehovah. He maketh level all his paths." Weighs them carefully, literally. So God is there. He's seen. He's weighing our paths. He's watching us. So always be thinking of God. It's a time when you get to get out on your own. And you'll face some challenges and you'll face some temptations. Always trust in God. Always keep Him at the forefront of your mind. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. This is in the story of the reformations and the restorations of Hezekiah. They're bringing back the Passover that had been neglected. And there were those, some, who wanted to partake of the Passover, and Hezekiah reminds them that God will pardon and forgive these individuals so that they can partake of the Passover and be of the right heart and mind to do that. It's not just a matter of going through the motions. And he reminds them of the kind of people that God will pardon. The good Jehovah pardon everyone that setteth his heart to seek God, Jehovah, the God of his fathers. You know, this is a time in your life where you're seeking new things. You want to learn new things. You want to go new places. It's a time in a person's life where they may be seeking to further their education, or they may be seeking a husband or a wife, or they may be seeking a new job, and all of those things are great. And in the process of doing all that, make sure that you're seeking, as Hezekiah says, that you've set your heart to seek God, Jehovah, the God of his fathers. To seek to know the Lord. Not just a casual passing knowledge, but to have an intimate relationship with him. Keep reading your Bible every day. Keep praying every day. It's a time where we're seeking new things. New horizons, new experiences. It's exciting. But be seeking, make sure that what is on that list is seeking to know the Lord. Sometimes at this period of our life, we're seeking new friendships, new relationships, and things like that, which are all fine. But the basis of all of that has to be seeking to know the Lord. So as we have our goals, make sure that God is at the foundation of all of that. Always put him and his kingdom first. It's a time in our life where we're experiencing new things and we have new relationships, new schedules each week. Something different than the way it was at home. Always keep God and the kingdom first. School is important. Work is important. But God is always first. And with regard to our knowledge and our education, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. That with all of the knowledge that we're seeking, especially those who want to go on and further their education, which is commendable, remember the fear of Jehovah. This is the beginning of knowledge. Of all the learning, of all the getting, get wisdom. It is the principal thing. That's another proverb. In all of our, I want to learn more about math and science and history and geography and all those kinds of things. Make sure that the fear of God, that's where we're going to begin. Not to discourage anyone this morning, but just simply to be realistic. We live in a real world, and that is that I have a family member that excelled in their higher education, but God is not in their life. They excelled in being high IQ and having degrees, but God is no longer in their life. They chased the American dream of having a great job, but God is no longer in their life. So, of all the goals, education, job, marriage, things like that, we've always got to keep God there. Or He'll get pushed off to the side while we're chasing these other things. And then pretty soon He won't be there at all. Always put Him first. And so Jesus said, put first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. God will make sure that all these other things are given to you. The food, shelter, and clothing, and those things. Always put God first. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 16. Young people want to be happy. We want to be happy. And let me encourage us this morning that one of our goals needs to be happiness that is found in a right relationship with God. Happiness is not in things. Happiness is not in what we own. It's not in things. It's not in money. When the ark was brought back to Jerusalem and there was a thanksgiving or a worship service given by David there, look at 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 7. Then on that day did David first ordain to give thanks unto Jehovah by the hand of Asaph and his brethren. O give thanks unto Jehovah, call upon his name, make known his doings among the peoples. Those words right there are in a song in our songbook. Sing unto him, sing praises unto him, talk ye of all his marvelous works. Now look at this. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek Jehovah. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength, seek his face forevermore. Notice, those that rejoice are those that seek Jehovah. True happiness is found in being a Christian, being a faithful Christian. And we know about Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. That's where true contentment is. That's where true happiness is. And when you look out in the world today and you find discontent and unhappiness and sadness and sorrow and problems, it's because people are not seeking the Lord. It's a time in your life where new relationships are opening up, new ventures, new opportunities, but always come back to simply seeking the Lord and being a faithful servant of His. Now, let's look at a few goals that involve our own selves. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. This is a time in your life when you're making decisions. There's a lot of decisions, a lot of choices to be made. And you'll be out on your own and you'll have to make some choices and some decisions. And let me encourage you to use God's wisdom when doing that. When we have to choose between A or B, what would God want us to do? When I'm making life choices and life decisions, schooling, a job, marriage, other important things like that, what would God want me to do in these kinds of cases? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Turn to God's Word and God's wisdom for that guidance. You know, this is a time in your life where a lot of times, especially if you're going on in your education, you get a big old pile of books, you know. But remember, those books are written by men. A lot of times they're not guiding us in the right way. Always come back to the book. So in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding. In other words, Lord, give me your understanding. That's what I really want. If you seek her as silver, just as much as we would be pursuing money, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For Jehovah giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity. Young people, it'll protect you like a shield. It'll protect you. That he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the ways of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. That's what we want for all of our people here this morning. The good path in life. But it comes from God's wisdom. For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall watch over thee as a protector. Understanding shall keep thee. It guards us, it protects us as we go down that good path in life. Look at chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. You see. What we think, what we feel, what do I want to do at this moment in my life? Always lean upon the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. It will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You're at a time in your life where you're moving and transitioning away and getting out on your own, and there's a temptation, well, what do I want to do? And it always needs to be, what does the Lord want me to do? I'm going to trust His Word. And along that same line, surround yourself by those who are going to give you sound advice and sound wisdom. In chapter 1 and verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We would say today, just say no. Surround yourself by those who are going to give you that guidance and counsel on this decision that you're trying to make, that's going to uplift you, build you up, keep you on the road to heaven, not put you on that path to eternal destruction. If you surround yourself by sinners, you're going to find yourself engaging in that type of thing. Now, we're not talking about never being around a sinner. We're talking about being around them, verse 10, and we listen to what they're saying and we begin to do that kind of thing. Obviously, we need to be around them to save them and influence them. Turn with me to chapter 11 and verse 14. Surround ourselves by those who are going to give us advice that is going to help us and better us. It may be your parents. It may be the preacher. It may be the elders. It may be one of the faithful members of the church. It may be a family member who's a faithful Christian. But surround yourself by those who are going to give you that wise guidance. They've traveled the road before. They've been down this path. They've made the choices that you've made. Where no wise guidance is, the people falleth. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But it's got to be the right kind. It's got to be the right kind. Those that are living by God's Word. Look at chapter 15 and verse 22. When you go out and get advice from someone, make sure it is that wise counsel. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, where there is no counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. There are godly brethren here that would be glad to give you advice. There are older godly brethren who have gone down the road that you're going and would be glad to help you with that. Reach out to them. Maintain self-discipline. You're at a time in your life where you have a lot more freedom. You're out on your own. You're away from home in more ways than maybe you were before. So maintain self-discipline. That's the part of our life where when we're on our own, we're tempted to do whatever we might want to do. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Remember, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. We used to sing that as a child in our songbook. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And we're out on our own, and so we're going to have to maintain some self-discipline. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Mom and Dad are not around like they were before 24/7. And so I've got to maintain some self-discipline. Look at verse 20. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now look at this. Here's your self-discipline. Keep thy heart, guard it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth and perverse lips, put far from these. So guard your mouth, for example. Self-discipline on our tongue. Look at verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So I'm going to guard my tongue. I'm going to guard my eyes. You know, I'm out by myself, and I'm in my room, and I can look at anything I want on the computer. Well, not everything is worth looking at on the computer, and there's a lot of things we shouldn't be looking at. So I'm going to guard my tongue, self-discipline. I'm going to guard my eyes. And then verse 26, make level the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. My feet can take me places. Now, I can get in my car and I can go places that I couldn't go before. Make sure my feet are taking me to only that which is good. And my eyes and my mouth. Turn not thy right hand. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Self-discipline. Of course, we know Paul's statement there in 1 Corinthians 9 about buffeting his own body, bringing it into subjection. So it's a time where we have freedom and we have mobility, but we always must maintain that self-discipline to be living right. Resolve to remain pure when you're out by yourself. You remember Daniel and his friends when they were taken away from their homeland? They're taken over to Babylon. They're away from mom and dad, as it were. They're away from the way they were raised physically, away, location-wise. They're out on their own. And what do we find in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8? That they had made a resolve of heart that they would not defile themselves with the king's dainties. And so have a resolve that now that I'm out on my own and I have more freedom, I'm going to remain pure. Daniel purposed in his heart. Underscore that in your Bible. That's an awesome verse. It's attitude. It's attitude. It's a purpose of heart. It's a resolve. It's a commitment. It's a dedication. And we read in the book of Daniel. Do you read in the book of Daniel where Daniel and his friends are slipping up all the time? They're just misbehaving and slipping up and causing problems. You don't read one negative thing about Daniel, do you? And his three friends? Why? They had already made up their mind that it's not going to happen. And that resolve is very powerful. If it's the right kind of resolve, it's very powerful. And it took them all the way through their relationship with these Babylonians and then even into the Persians. Purpose of heart. That's a great goal. Have that. And then when you are put in those situations, dare to be different. Because of the purpose of heart, you're with the friends and you're with the group and you just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So chapter 3, I'm not going to bow down to the idol. Chapter 6, I'm not going to stop, you know, praying to my God. And you'll find yourself in those situations. And it's not just school. Later, it's work. Midlife, it's the neighbors in the neighborhood. You know, it's not just school. It's some great goals to have to keep us on track in being right with God. And give God your best. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of its might. You are made in the image of God. You're a servant of Christ. We're a child of God. And let's give our Heavenly Father our absolute best. You see so much in our society where it's just shoddy, half-hearted approach to all kinds of things. And it's really frustrating. It's hard to do business with people anymore because it's just half measures and put very little into it. Have you been to a business lately where the person serving you, they're acting like you're the problem for being there? Don't you just love that? You're like, wow, that's nice. Yeah, okay. If this is what you want, you know, that kind of... I see smiles. You know what I'm talking about. You experience that all the time. Give God your best. And then it'll be the best that you're giving in your marriage, in your parenting, in the work of the local church. It'll be in other areas of your life. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it to the glory of God. And if I can't honestly say that this is to the glory of God and this is not my best, then I'm going to kick it up a notch. I'm going to do better. Our society today is about lowering the bar and bare minimums and status quos and just, you know, barely getting by. And it shows in every aspect of our life. Let's not have that. Let's give God our best. And then finally this morning, a few final goals that deal with others around us. We've talked about putting God first. We've talked about how that we're going to approach our own life. We're going to use God's wisdom. We're going to get help from other wise Christians. We're going to maintain self-control. But what about our relationship with others around us? Let me mention a few and then we'll close this morning. We share this planet with 7 billion people. We're not the only ones walking around. And so there are others around us. What can be some good goals where we keep in mind those around us? Well, let's turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's get up each day and always be the right example to those around us. We share this planet with many, many people. And many of them, the closest thing they're going to come to God and God's Word is you. And so, be the right example for them. These things, command and teach, let no man despise thy youth. But be an example to them that believe. When you're around other believers or Christians, this is the specific context. It could also apply to being with people out in the world. But when you're around others, be an example in these areas, in your speech, your words, in your manner of life, in love. That is what I'm about to do. It's going to be sacrificial, serving, caring for someone. In faith, in purity. Always set the right example for those around you. They may be setting a terrible example. They may be completely ungodly. But don't lower your standard to what's going on around you. Always be that light of the world and salt of the earth. And as you get out on your own, don't stray too far from your brethren. Always stay close to your brethren. And this is good, especially with those who are moving away from home. They may be moving to another state. They may be going to school in another state, another part of the country. But always stay close to your brethren, even if you have to leave home. Many a young person has left the Lord at this part in their life or at this stage or step because they decided to leave their brethren. I don't have to go to church anymore like mom and dad took me for 18 years. I don't have to do that anymore. And so they stop. Brethren are placed here, Hebrews 10:25, to stir us up to love and good works. Our brethren keep us strong. Our brethren keep us encouraged. Our brethren keep us faithful. Don't forsake the assembly. They're there to help us. So always stay close to your brethren. And wherever you're going, the choices that you're making, make sure that there are some faithful brethren there to worship with. This is true later in life when you have a job change and maybe you're moving somewhere else because of work. It's brethren, in addition to these other things, that help us get to heaven. God put the local church on earth for a purpose, and one is to keep us faithful and stirred up. So always keep them close. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, Luke chapter 15, don't forget the way home. When we get out on our own, there may be situations where we don't live maybe the way we should live. But always remember the way home. We can come back to godly parents. We can come back to our Heavenly Father. If we make mistakes, if we don't make the right choices and we make some mistakes, there's always a home to come home to. If you're a faithful Christian and you were raised by faithful Christians, there's always a home to come home to. And this prodigal son, prodigal means wasteful, he knew that he could come back to his father. And Jesus tells this story in chapter 15, verse 3. He said some parables unto them. It has a greater lesson in that the Heavenly Father will let you come back to Him. And the Father in this story, we're told, had great compassion. He saw His Son coming. He goes out, verse 22, bring forth quickly the best robe. Verse 20, He saw Him and was moved with compassion. There's a place to come back to. So don't ever forget your way home. I hope that this has helped this morning. Graduation is a time for looking back with memories, and it's a time for looking ahead with goals. And I hope that these spiritual goals will help us as we make that transition. We're very proud of our graduates. We're proud of all of our brethren here, faithful Christians who are striving to live right. Let's put these principles into play, and we'll find that we'll be strong and pleasing to God as we go through life. If you're younger, these are great goals to aspire to and plan ahead for. And if we're older, it's always a good review to say, are these things still in our life? There may be here someone this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. Your immediate goal is to be baptized into Christ. The water is ready. We can do that. We would encourage you to come. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. If you need to come, that would be a great time to do it. That's the first and immediate goal that you need to have. Or as a child of God, if you want to come back in some way and let us know that you are rededicating your life to Christ, now's a good time to do that. But God gives us that pathway to go. He told Joshua, here's how to be successful. And he gave him that threefold plan. Be courageous, never depart from my word, and remember that I'll always be with you. And we know how successful Joshua was. We can have that same spiritual success if we'll follow those words. If we can help you this morning, why won't you come as we stand and sing?